Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
Psalm 119, verse number 9. We're going to read it all together, just one verse. And I want to encourage us today. Many of you have been reading through the Bible, and that's great. And you just come through a month, and maybe you already feel a little bit of that struggle. Maybe you're not even making a commitment yet, and you're kind of a little bit haphazard with the Word of God. I encourage you through today to see the power of the Word of God and really the hope that we have for cleansing from the Word of God. And I really think that sometimes when we think about revival, we think about, well, if I can just stop doing this and this, and if I can adjust this and that, and we try to maneuver it in our own strength, and it really just does not work. God has a plan for our cleansing, and it's very, very hopeful. Yes. So I want us to see this. You know this verse, Psalm 119, verse 9. Let's read it out loud together, and you're all awake this morning, so every voice together. Let's read it. Ready, begin. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Let's be seated. Most of Psalm 119 really deals with the word of God. And so we notice that over and over through this chapter. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, as many of you know. And it was written by David. And he was a man that we also understand to be a man after God's own heart, right? And that was God's terminology for him, not his own. He did not say that he was that. It was God's description of him. And David knew what it was to be very close to God, but he also knew what it was to be very distant from God. He had some seasons in his life that were very, very difficult, and you know them well if you've read through or studied the life of David. So he had some high points and he had some low points. I want to ask you today, what is your relationship with the Lord like? And you say, well, I'm here at church. Isn't that what God expects? This is just the beginning of what God expects. Like, if you're patting yourself on the back for being at church, God is not impressed that you're sitting in a pew. There's so much more that needs to be a part of your Christian life. Now, he did say not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So we understand it's a part of what he wants us to do, but it's really just the beginning. The church assembles to be sent out. And so, where's your relationship with the Lord? What is it like to walk with you? If a person was to walk with you through the week, what would be that which they observe about your relationship with God? Is it a part of your daily life? Is it more than a prayer before a meal or saying grace? Is it more than just a bedtime prayer? How close is your relationship with God? And I want us to realize that David really understood both sides of it, the closeness and really the distance from God. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Not somebody else's shepherd, but my shepherd, personalized. Psalm 40 and verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. My God. There's a big difference between my parents' God or my pastor's God or that person's God and my God. And David knew what it was. Do a search through the Psalms. Look for this as you're reading through that this year. Look for it. How many times does he personalize? This is my God. He's the rock of my salvation. It's pretty amazing. So he knew what it was to be close to God, but he also knew what it was to be very distant from God. As a young man, he prayed in Psalm 25, Lord, don't remember the sins of my youth. How many of you would say that with David? There's some things, God, I want you to choose to forget. God forgets nothing, but he chooses not to remember. I'm grateful. David prayed as a young man. Lord, I don't want you to remember the sins of my youth. He had pride and disobedience when he numbered the people, didn't he? Why? Because God said, I don't want you to trust in the size of your army. I want you to trust in the Lord your God. But he numbered the people against Joab's pushback on him. He says, no, you go number the people. And Joab didn't even number all of them. But he thought, man, we're big stuff. We got an army. God says, no, no, you've done very, very wrong. You've done very arrogantly. You're not trusting in me. There was a heavy price to pay for the children of Israel through the sin of David in that moment. Very distant from God in that moment. Not listening to God's word. He carried the Ark of the Covenant. He says, you know what? We'll put it on a cart. Just like the Philistines do, we'll put it on a cart and we'll bring it right into the city of God, into Jerusalem, and we'll worship it and it'll all be good. Not remembering that he was to write down the book of the law, and he was to write through that section that said, you carry it with four men with the staves, you make sure you carry it by foot. No other way, that's the way you carry the presence of God, or the emblem of the presence of God, the mercy seat, the ark of God, wherever you go. And so he carried it on a cart pulled by oxen, and you remember Uzzah, the threshing floor, put out his hand to stabilize it, and he loses his life. David's all mad. He had no reason to be mad. He had disobeyed God. Sometimes that's like us. We get mad when the consequences of our sin come to fruition in our lives. But it's not God's fault that we have consequences. It's our fault. Amen? Yes. And that's like a spoiled child when we do that. Well, I can't believe Mom and Dad disciplined me. Well, did you disobey? Well, then expect the discipline. Expect the consequence. That's something wrong in our society today. But even in our hearts, not listening to God's word and following his instruction. As an older man, we know the sexual sin, the adultery he committed with Bathsheba, the murder. You think about a man that knew some low points away from God, and he said in Psalm 51, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. So you had some real low points. Where are you in your relationship with God today? Is your account, so to speak, between your Heavenly Father and you, is it clear? Is there something between you and the Savior? You know, when we take the Lord's Supper, it tells us to examine ourselves. What is God asking us to do? To see, is there any sin that I need to confess and to get right with my God? Is there something on my conscience that needs to be cleared? Now, we understand that God has forgiven us, but as our Heavenly Father, we need to be in right relationship with him. And how close is your relationship with the Lord today? Are you distant? Is there something between you and God? Or is it clear? As the songwriter says, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Nothing between. So David asks this really wonderful question in Psalm 119 and verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man, a young woman, a older man, old woman, mature woman, all right? Doesn't matter who. Wherewithal shall we, how in the world should we cleanse our way? Now I'm going to tell you, there are many churches and many believers who go on and do not ever confess sin. And they aren't prompted to confess their sin. They're not, the preaching doesn't encourage the confession of sin. Now, we're not talking about like a Catholic idea where you go to confess to a priest. We're talking about you, between you and your Heavenly Father, seeking to be right with him. And how in the world should we be cleansed from our sin? We know that when we sin, there's something that happens in our heart. We struggle with it. We think on it. We stew on it. And we're like, something's not right. And the Holy Spirit's convicting us. How do we cleanse ourselves from sin? How do we free our conscience? I'm convinced that many people try to go on and do the things that God's told them to do, but they've not yet dealt with the problem in their conscience. And every time you go to serve the Lord, it's just going to be there. You're going to lack power because your mind is double-minded. You're trying to justify your sin. I've been there more times than I want to even admit. And until we get real about our sin and real about what God's saying, hey, this is wrong. And the amazing thing about God is he can convict every single one of us of different areas in our life. And they may not be the same. His word is the same, but he's going to work in our lives in different areas. And I just say that because he might be convicting you about something right now, and it might be 3 years from now that he convicts another person about that same thing. But our God knows where we are, what we need to do, the decisions we need to make, and what we need to give up, and what we need to step into. Wouldn't you agree? And so, wherewithal, how in the world shall a young man cleanse his way? And so I want us just to realize this verse assumes that you and I struggle with sin. We struggle with sin. So if you've struggled with sin this week, welcome to the club. There's about 8 billion others that do the same. And if there's 2 billion believers in the world, there's 2 billion that are still struggling with sin in their flesh. What is sin? Sin is the violation of God's law or the disobedience of God's word. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Now, God's word still has authority. God's word hasn't changed. It doesn't change with culture. It doesn't change with location. It is the same. Across all the world, it is the same. I get so tired of hearing, well, things are different now. It's 2024. No, Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Is he the living word? Then it's not changed. And if we're serving a changing God, listen, we got a problem. Like, is he gonna turn on you? Is your salvation even true if we serve a changing God? And if we play this game with the Bible that it's changing because it's 2024 and we're under the Biden administration or we're under the Trump administration or we're this or that, we're in another country, it doesn't matter, it doesn't change. And it doesn't even matter if those in high office even accept the word of God, which doesn't change. So we all struggle with this matter of sin, and God's word declares what sin is. 1 John 3 and verse 4, he that committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is transgression of the law. The Ten Commandments, those are clear. Now, we should just quickly add, in Christ we're completely forgiven. That's a positional truth. Your file, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, your file in heaven, inside of it, all that's in there, the righteousness of Christ. Amen. That's what's in there. That's your position. But a practical truth is this, you and I still live in the flesh. And so while nothing can change our positional truth, we're safe, we're secure in the Lord Jesus Christ because he sacrificed a completed sacrifice. He died, he was buried, he rose again. That's finished. It is finished. Amen. Right? So that's true of you today if you know Jesus as your Savior. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. You need to trust on him today. You say, I can't grapple, I can't even think of all that. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. It's stepping into believing what he says he will do. And if he's God like he says he is, he has to come through. If salvation's not true, I'm doomed. If what Jesus said is not true, I'm doomed. But I've placed faith in what he has said in his word that he will save me from all of my sin, past, present, and future, and he'll give me eternal life with him forever. Right? So that's a matter of faith. My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed, but in the ever-living one whose wounds for me shall plead. So it's not in a man's word, but it's in the person of Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we place faith. He says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But 1 John says, to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What's that? For the believer, there are times that we sin against our, not our judge anymore, but our heavenly Father, and we need to be right with our Father. Yes. Nothing can biologically change the fact that your father is your father. Even if you don't know him, he's walked out in your life, nothing biologically can change that. You are forever connected to that man. But even I have sons, they can sin against me, they're connected to me, they're my sons, but if there's a sin in between, it strains our fellowship. And they need to come to me, and they need to ask for that forgiveness, and sometimes, because I'm a human dad, I have to go to them and ask forgiveness. Right?
Yes.
Right? But the picture is, it restores fellowship. Restores fellowship. And that's what we're talking about. So how are you and I going to be cleansed from our sin as believers? How are we going to have that restored fellowship? It's a great question, isn't it? How are we going to be cleansed? Is there any hope? And some people will go on for a very long time just struggling with this very, very much. There's so much temptation and pressures in our world against us. The Bible says, don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passes away. But these things pressure us. Eve in the garden looked at the fruit and said, wow, that looks really good. Even though God had said no, it looks good. If people could just see me with that apple, or whatever it was. She also looked at it and said, it's good to the taste. Oh, man, God's keeping me from something. It's going to make me feel good. It's good. It's going to satisfy my body. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Hey, Eve, if you eat this, you're going to know what God knows. Wow. I think that sounds pretty good. The pride of life. To have a different position than what God has given you. And you know, Satan hasn't stopped using those against us.
That's right.
The advertising industry plays on those. Over and over. And who is the prince in the power of the air? Satan. Who has dominion in this sphere? Satan. Friends, he has not changed one of his strategies. And as humans, we've been falling for it over and over and over again. But God gives us the playbook. 1 John 2:15, write that down. I know you don't have notes this morning. 1 John 2:15, he tells us, don't love that. When you start watching that ad and say, if I just had that, it would make me feel good. Hold up. Perhaps it's allowable, but are you being tempted with something that God never intended for you to have? We hear all the time, if it feels good, do it. Follow your heart. That is the worst advice in the world. You know, your heart and my heart is desperately wicked.
Yes.
It's deceitful. That's what Jeremiah 17:9 says. And so why in the world would we follow our heart? You will follow your heart all the way away from God.
Yes.
So believers do this all the time. Just follow your heart. Don't give that advice. Don't receive that advice. All this is what is being pressured upon us and keeps us in this struggle of sin. We need to learn the word so we can rise above these things. And so even as I was down there, we're talking about all the living together and the immorality and the pornography that is pervasive even in that society. And what is this? It's the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and all these things. It's there. Paul says he struggled with sin. Romans 7, read the end. Yeah, I want to do good, but I don't do good. In the times I don't want to do good, I just have this war back and forth that's going on. He didn't stay there. He said, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory. Jesus Christ is our victory, and what he did for us at the cross is our victory, and we need to rest in that victory and be able to, what did he tell his disciples? Watch ye and pray. Lest you enter into temptation. You say, I give in too easily to temptation. Well, are you watching and praying? What is watch? Watching is to keep guard. Do you have your guard up? Are you seeking the Lord in prayer? And so we have so many pressures that are against us. And this means if we all struggle with sin, we also need cleansing from sin. There's not a person in this room that does not need cleansing from sin. Now let's banish the thought from Grace Baptist Church that we have it together when we come here. And listen, we should seek wholeness, shouldn't we? You would think it would be really weird of a person to spend their life in a hospital. Like something's wrong with that picture. At some point you need to be able to get up and help somebody else. So we say all the time that church is a hospital, and it is. But I'm sure grateful that the nurses and doctors are whole inside of the hospital. And some of you, it's about time to stop being broken in a hospital bed and be able to stand up and start helping other people as they walk in. Not every week coming in, oh, I'm broken again. I yielded to temptation again. We need to get over that.
Yeah.
We need to let the Holy Spirit help us so that we can help others. He intends for that to be the reality. And so we all need this cleansing from sin. And listen, even when you're mature, you'll still need cleansing from sin.
Yeah.
But what I have found is the Lord has helped me by his grace to over time just realize there's no reason for me to fight him and fight his spirit. Just get right. So when I've offended somebody or I've lacked grace, I can think of many times, even with some of you in this room, that I've said something that just lacked grace and it wasn't kind. And the Lord's like, you're going to have to go back to them and ask for forgiveness, you know. And you know what I found? It's really better not to wait a week or 2 weeks or 3 months. It's better just to actually just go back. You know what? I didn't tell you the whole truth when I said that. I was wrong. Here's the truth. And when we just listen to the Holy Spirit of God, it makes it so much better. If we're gonna be able to apply some of the things that we learned out of Winter Revival and what God's gonna continue to teach us, we have to be willing to start with whatever the Holy Spirit's putting his finger on, saying, hey, right there. You're not gonna go past the last time the Lord confronted you. You're not gonna grow past that. And I've learned that in my life. I can tell you some things in my teenage years going into college I hung on to for years. And I thought, well, you know what? The Lord, Holy Spirit seems to have gotten quiet on this one, so maybe finally I'm past it. Listen, I just learned you just got to deal with it. You got to deal with it. We all struggle with sin. There's not one of us in here that's made it. So if you're a new believer in here and you're struggling with sin and you think, well, pastors made it. No. They've made it. They just look like they have it all put together. One of the greatest lies that Satan tells a person walking in these doors is that these folks have it all together. And that is not true. We could have a confession service for a real long time in here, and we would all be red in the face. It's not because we're sitting there just saying, hey, great, I'm a sinner and I've done this. No, we're not reveling in it. It's just reality. We all struggle with sin. And we need to be real about that. The next generation needs to realize that we struggle. Now, what does James 5:16 say? It says, confess your faults one to another, that you may pray for one another, that you may be healed. Guys, I think we really struggle with this. We don't oftentimes want to be public with one another. But I believe there's men that are shackled in pornography, and the only way that they're going to be find a way out, and by the way, it's not just a men thing. The Trojan horse is the reality that there are many women in churches that are struggling with pornography. You say, well, I'd never tell another living soul. Do you want freedom? How bad do you want freedom? The Word of God said, confess your faults one to another. It doesn't mean stand up in a service. Hey, I want everyone to know I struggle with pornography. No, you might want to be a little bit more careful about that. But there's probably a person in this church who you know loves the Lord and walks with God and would put their arm around you and say, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to help you stay accountable. Yes. Let's pray right now and let's set up a time. We're going to pray. And if someone comes to you with something like that sensitive, that's not for you to share with anyone else, you stop and thank God that they put that trust in you.
Amen. That's good.
And you help them on. We have to be a church that helps one another. And so there is a struggle from sin, and we all need this cleansing. The Bible tells us we're not to continue in sin that grace may abound. God forbid, Romans 6:1. God forbid that we would continue on in sin. So there's a need to move on. This cleansing is to be pure, to be free from immorality. And did you notice who's going to cleanse his way? His way is his attitudes, his actions, his thoughts, all that's about him. Everything. There he says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How is he going to cleanse everything that he touches and does? Our speech, our interactions, what we post. The world's watching what we post. It amazes me how many times people are watching even Grace Baptist Church for weeks before they ever step in these doors. They're watching you. Your coworkers, they watch you. Your Instagram feed. They watch that. Some of you say, I don't have Instagram. I don't have any social media. Fine, but they watch your life. I was walking down the airport terminal, And I walked past a husband and wife that were having a bad day. And and the wife just is walking along, and she's going to the bathroom. And her husband from behind says, hon. And he was trying to say, we've just passed our gate. Well, rather than her just saying, hon, I'm going to the bathroom, which is what a person walking in the spirit might say. I'm just going to the bathroom. But her, she goes, don't you think I know? I'm going to the bathroom. I'm like, woo. Okay, go be. Go to the bathroom. But listen, you think about the reality of our way being cleansed. The world watches that. The world watches us in a relationship. They watch how we deal with our kids. They watch all these things. They watch what we do when we're under pressure. And David says, how am I going to cleanse my way? Last year when we had the Cola Clash and you watched the tug of war over the mud pit. Some of you watched that. You can all get the mental image, though. The kids were muddy. I think shoes were lost in there. But there's a picture of my son Jack with two other guys. I think one of the Batista's grandsons, I think, is in that picture. And I showed it to the kids down there, and they're just covered in mud. But afterwards, Jack goes, I'm going to give you a hug, Dad. No, you're not. Why? Because there's really something in between here. You're dirty. And that's exactly what we do with God. And that's exactly what the mainstream churches are teaching people to do with God. You can come to Jesus just as you are, and you can stay that way. You don't have to deal with your sin. Churches aren't even telling people to stop living together anymore. We got a real problem on our hands in American Christianity. It's sickening what's going on inside of the churches and what is being done so that we just have a crowd. We're not going to talk about sin anymore. Listen, if we don't talk about sin, you and I won't be close to God. We have to wash off before we can embrace. We have to be clean. That's why I had Psalm 24 read this morning. Who's going to ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Not just outwardly clean, but a pure heart on the inside. Oh, how we need that. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. 1 John 1 and verse number 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen. The worst thing that you and I could do as believers, remember 1 John's written to believers. It's not talking about salvation, it's talking about maintaining a right relationship with God. And if you and I are going to maintain a close relationship with God, it means we have to be real about our sin. It means we have to be real about our unkindness. It means we have to be real about our wrong thoughts. It means we have to be real about our anger. By the way, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Where's the sin? Anger is an emotion. You know, there's times I get angry. But I've learned that if I do not deal with that and go talk about that, it's going to get rooted into my heart by the next day. So I need to talk about it. I guess on Wednesday night, they were making pizza. Mrs. Perez says, this is going to be simple food. We're sorry. It's going to be simple food at camp. They mounded the plates. It was unbelievable. It was great Uruguayan food, and they had all sorts of different things. But one night, they were making pizza, and they got to thinking, you know what? We don't have enough pizza. And it was mostly pastors and Mrs. Perez and the pastor's wives working in the kitchen. It was a big kitchen, but it was hot, friends. It was hot. And you walk through there and just like, you know, bees get bothered when they're hot and they start flapping their wings. Well, you know, people get bothered when they're hot. So anyway, so we were sitting down afterwards. All the kids would do the cleanup, clean the dining room, and they would wash the dishes. And then the people that made the dinners would go sit and have dinner. And so we were sitting with them afterwards and just listening. They're just cutting up and laughing. And you know what? They were talking about the night before we made the pizza, and we didn't think we were going to have enough. And so we are last minute, we're making more dough and we're making more pizzas, and we're really working at it. And one of the guys is a military guy, and everything he says, just, you know, Mrs. Perez says, you know, everything's just kind of in order, and the last minute adjustments, that's just not in his calendar. And so he's just shaking his head. He has to walk outside and let you guys do what you do. And she said something. She said this, and I'll never forget this. It's really a great quote. We'll use it. We'll probably just use it around here sometime. But it came from Mrs. Fresh. She says, you know what? If we weren't Christian, we would have killed each other. And I thought there was some real good truth in that. Sometimes we get bothered in the midst of ministry. We get under it and we react as a human. And we struggle. And we have to remember that there's sometimes, you know what, just the reality, we struggle with emotions. But at some point we got to deal with it. And I watched them just kind of deal with it with each other. You know what? I'm sorry. It was a little tense. I understand that, but I love you. And they were laughing about it. And it was just wonderful. Brother Perez told me, he goes, in the ministry, you need to have the skin of an elephant and the heart of a baby. Sometimes some of the disruptions that's happened in our own church is because we had the skin of a baby or the skin of an old person, a mature person. Right? We just got to deal with it. So, say you're working with somebody in the kitchen, in the lobby, and temper flares. You know what? That's going to happen. That's going to happen around Grace Baptist Church. Go get it right. I'm sorry. Reflecting on that, it's the wrong thing to say. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? And let it go. Amen, church? That's how we keep good relationships. We all struggle with these things. We all need cleansing from sin, and we need to do this in our relationship with God so that we might have fellowship, because sin hinders our fellowship with our Creator every time. And sin hinders our fellowship with one another. So you can't just, I'm going to go on in my sin, and I'm going to maintain this until we acknowledge it. We're going to be separated. We're going to be hurt, our relationships. And I'd encourage you, even before tonight, if there's something in between you and another believer, just go get it right. You might have something in your heart that you're dealing with, and you're just struggling with it. I don't know if I should go talk to him. Listen, if it is something that you're not going to get past and you need to bring it to attention, do what Matthew 18 says. Just go to them. I've had people come to me and say, hey, this is what you said. Oh, I didn't. I just didn't realize that's how it sounded. I'm sorry. I need your forgiveness. And you know, I'd welcome you coming to me in that way. And I hope that you'd welcome me coming to you in that way. Right? So we all need to be cleansed from sin, and we all can be cleansed from sin. Let's look at this. Let's look at this last phrase. By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Huh? Like, give us three steps. By taking heed? What is God saying to us? What is God using David? He says, this is how, by taking heed, you got to give us something more complicated than that. Like a maybe one of those, what's that store down there in Westchester, the store, the blue store, IKEA. You got to give us an IKEA manual on this one. Like something that has to be a little bit more, by taking heed thereto according to that word. Well, what does that look like? And I just want us to understand that God is very simple. He's a practical God. He says, if you'll act according to my word, you'll cleanse your way. So that means as we hear the Lord and the Spirit of God convicting us today, we have to act on it. We can't wait. We got to act on it. He says, you'll cleanse your way. I recently heard there's three kind of levels of instruction from God's word. Commands, principles, and then examples. Commands, principles, and examples. There's many commands. Thou shalt not, or thou shalt. We know the Ten Commandments over and over. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. These are clear commands of Scripture. There's no fudging on it. They're clear and specific. But there's sometimes not enough commands to deal with every circumstance that we might have. The Bible tells us that your temple, your body, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so most believers, even the lost, think, you know what? Christians think that you should not drink and you should not smoke. And you won't go into the Bible and find a verse that says, thou shalt not smoke camels. Cigarettes, not camels. Whatever. Thou shalt not smoke marijuana. You're not going to find a specific one in there. But God does give us plenty of principles that apply to these situations. And a spirit-filled believer, a hungry believer to be right with God, is going to find those principles and is going to apply them. Well, wait a minute. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So God did not tell Joseph, thou shalt not commit adultery with Potiphar's wife. Thou shalt not commit adultery when you're in a foreign land and no one will ever know. But he did say later on, he gave us a clear principle there, but he did even go beyond that. And Jesus said, you know what? In old times he said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I have said unto thee, whoever looks on a woman and lusts after her in his heart, it is sin. Well, God doesn't say thou shalt not specifically view pornography on this website. But he says, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you've committed the sin of adultery. So we have principles in Scripture that apply across the board. Thou shalt be kind. Use hospitality. Where? Where specifically? Use hospitality. Just be hospitable. These are principles, but then we also have plenty of examples. Joseph, Daniel, David, children of Israel. If you're reading through Exodus, you notice that Moses valued the presence of the Lord. I don't want to go up without you going with me. Well, there's examples that show us how to live. And so God covered all the bases. So if you get around a group of Christians that, unless it is clearly said in the Bible, I will not do it. Listen, there are plenty of principles that God has given us to live by in Scripture. Do we all see that? So he says, take heed. Take heed thereto according to thy word. Put it into action. Let's know the word. Let's take attention to God's word. Not man's word, but God's word. God does use teachers and preachers to communicate the word of God, but you and I are responsible for everything that's in this book. This will be what God judges us. His revealed word. Turn to 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 16. As you're turning there, one of the hardest things for me to do through an interpreter was figure out how to do exactly what I'm doing now. And whether to have them read, it reads a little different, the word order is a little different, and so the Lord gave grace through all that, and finally got it down. But I am grateful to be able to speak in more than two-word phrases or three-word phrases right now and just be able to say what's on my mind. When we all get to heaven, there will be no language barrier. Yes. 2 Timothy 3:16, are you there? Yes. Let's read it together. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know what God tells us? He's given us everything we need in the Word of God to live holy lives, to be furnished unto all good works. To be prepared for all good works. God does not use dirty vessels. He sometimes uses us in spite of ourselves. I'm not saying that you have to be perfect before God uses you. I'm not saying that. But he will lead us along. And if he shows you dirt in the vessel, you need to take care of it so he can use you. Be a vessel meet or prepared for the master's use. But something I've been learning, and we see even here in this passage, that if we do not respond well to the reproof of God's word, or to the reproof that he brings into our lives, will not be a successful Christian. We have to deal with reproof. Reproof is when he says, that's wrong. Correction is, he says, this is how you make it right. This is how you correct it. And instruction in righteousness is how you keep it right. But there's times where God says, this is wrong. And even when you come into the gathering of the saints, you need to just be reminded of the fact that God will reprove you. He's going to say, this is wrong. You can't go on this way. He might use somebody in your life to reprove you. Say, hey, that's not right. How you and I respond to reproof says a lot about our walk with God. Would you agree with that? Anyone in here just like to be told that they're wrong? Most of us don't. But friends, can I encourage you? If you're going to be clean, we're going to have to be okay with being told we're wrong. It will separate you. The believers that are going to advance and go far with God are the ones that learn to just hear, that was wrong. Okay, I'll deal with it. That's the spirit we need to have. See, so much of this arrogance that creeps up in our hearts, that no, I don't want anyone to tell me wrong. I just got it all together. We don't have it all together. And we need the reproof of the Lord. Proverbs 1:23, opening up to Rehoboam, Solomon's son, turn you at my reproof. turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Do you want God's spirit to be upon your life? You better learn to turn at his reproof. Do you want to understand his words? You better learn to turn at his reproof. D.L. Moody said, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. It's true. Jesus told his disciples, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And so it is the word of God that cleanses us. So, how's your relationship with the Lord? Is there something between you and the Savior? Now, we'll all be growing until we get to heaven. And there'll always be things that the Holy Spirit shows us. And if you and I will simply respond to the Holy Spirit of God when he is saying that issue needs to be taken care of, what about all the other issues, God? No, I have my finger on that one right now. Well, I've gotten this right. No, I have my finger on this one right now. And we'll learn to turn at his reproof about that. It'll change everything. You will walk in revival. It won't be something I'm sharing about kids 5,000 plus miles away. Like this is us. God wants to do this in us. And I know he's done it in some of you. You've been turning at his reproof, and God has been changing your life. Would you agree?
Yes.
Is it always easy?
No.
No, it's not. It's not for me either. But God is good to do that to us, and we learn to say thank you when he reproves us. Wouldn't you agree that that's mature? Thank you, Lord, for reproving us. So this isn't a magic trick. Brother Jack was afraid. But I shared this with them down there, and I don't know that it's original. I don't have anyone in mind that I've seen it from, but I wanted to share something with you. Because sometimes, as believers, we know we need to have a clean life, and we know that we ought to let the Word of God work in our lives, but I think we get the wrong focus. Sometimes I think we get more focus on our individual sins and dealing with them than just letting the Word of God clean us out and letting it reprove us and clean us and cleanse us. And so you may not even know all the areas that the Holy Spirit wants to clean you up in, but he does. And the power of his word is that he can have you sitting in the same service and be convicting two different believers about totally different things. And the key is that you continually put yourself under the word daily, under the preaching of the word. Why? Because you want to be clean. You mark it down. A person that stays away from the assembly of the saints and stays away from reading their Bibles, they are going to begin to be cluttered up with all sorts of sin. True?
Yes.
Well, how about this? Have you had times in your life where you were not diligent about the reading of the word and diligent about giving heed to the word preached, that sin began to creep up in your life and it began to dominate you? All right, let's just be honest here. My hand's up. This can be pride. This can be, right? I mean, this is all sorts of things. So we see David said that it is the word of God that cleanses us. So I think about this, those rivers. Can you throw that picture of the river up? I mean, it was just really interesting. Brown. I could not get past how brown the water was down there. And I guess the Jordan River was pretty dirty. Naaman didn't like to go in the Jordan River, did he? I can go back to where I'm from. There are cleaner rivers there. But you wouldn't drink river water. I brought one of the kids up and I asked him, you want me to give you some river water? No, you're not going to drink river water. Why? Because it's not even clear. It's full of dirt and junk and garbage. You wouldn't want to drink that. Ugh. But you think about it, we all do enjoy clear water. I drink mostly bottled water, just try to avoid any stuff that shouldn't be in my stomach. or would affect my dainty American stomach. I did find out that you want to ask for water without gas. I'm digressing just a moment here. So first airport, you know, you pay $10.95 for your bottle of water. You know what I'm talking about? Like, they get you on that water. But you can't bring it through security and all. So I go in and we buy two bottles of water, and I opened it up, and all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, something's wrong with this water. And it said, Coom gas. And I needed to get on the airplane. I was like, what in the world? Like, why is this water fizzy? And they had shelves of it. I guess it was just a thing down there. And I texted Corey Mears. I said, I didn't know you needed to ask for water without gas. Hashtag rookie. Yeah. Like, man, so I learned to look for the water sin gas or without gas. And still made a mistake in the last airport to get the water. But I want pure water. I just want water. Agua. I just want water. You drink water. But, you know, our lives are a little bit like this glass. There's sometimes we start to allow some pride in. And maybe just not always bad things, but they lead to bad things. They become kind of weights in our lives that just kind of clutter up our walk with God, distract us from walking with God. We have unkindness towards our spouse, and it just sits there. We don't deal with it, and it begins to just add pollution. And we can't clearly look at God, can't clearly serve Him. It's just this struggle that just begins to be there in our minds. We're fighting with our own conscience. And little by little, there's just stuff that begins to creep into our lives. Sins. Every day we're going to struggle with sin. If what we've just talked about, every day we're going to struggle. Sometimes it's big sins that really darken the waters and darken our hearts. And we're really struggling. And so, hey, where's Mark? Mark, can you come on up here? Mark, you're a great help. You love food. You love, right, Aaron? You just, what's your grocery bill? What do you think about drinking this? Don't ruin my illustration. We want pure water, don't we? Hey, could you just help us purify it? Could you just go ahead and just start picking out those little particles there? Just pick them out. Let's clean up this water. One? There's a lot more in there.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible.
You sure?
Yeah.
I mean, if you start from now until... maybe tonight, maybe you get a little bit clearer.
Yeah, if you get like 20 nights.
20 nights. You know, sometimes what we try to do with our lives, we start to try to just pick out the little things. You know, I got to do better. I got to try harder. I got to try harder to manage my anger. I got to try harder not to be arrogant. And we try to purify our own lives with our own self-effort. Isn't that what Paul got on the Galatian believers about? You got saved by faith, but you're continuing in the flesh. You're trying to be sanctified, set apart to Jesus through the power of the flesh. It doesn't work. What God says to us, the way to clean our lives up is not through self-effort or reform or reading five lessons to a successful Christian life, right? You know, some self-help book for the Christian life. We can't. There's one right in the top. You can pick that one out. That's probably pride right there. You can pick that one out. You missed it. Still floating. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. We're going to wrap this up. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 25. Could I have a guy to stand and read that, and whoever you are that's turning there, could you run this to them? Someone stand up, a guy, all right, Noah's right on it. Could you take that down to Noah? Hold that for him while he reads Ephesians 5, 25 through 27.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy without blemish.
Amen. So what does he say he uses to purify his church, to cleanse his church? Fill that out. What does he say? The washing of water by the word. Did you know God's word is like water and a washing? Well, how do we get that? Reading it, hearing it preached, and taking heed to it. Isn't that what Psalm 119 said? Taking heed to it. So it's not coming into my life, well, I know what I need to work on. No, God knows what you need to work on. And he uses the word to cleanse us. And so the amazing thing about this is you can through self-effort try. But it is the word of God, steady, heavy amounts of the word of God coming into our life that will begin to oh, there's still some impure. Can you pick those out? You're just giving up on that, right? Listen, it's the word of God that cleanses us. Why do you need to be in your word every day? That's legalism. No, it's not. That is an insane thing for a Christian to say that a church or a pastor should encourage people to be in the word of God every day. It's not legalism. If you're going to be clean at your job, between you and God, you need the word of God. It's just a part of the Christian life. And that's what brings us cleansing. Do you think you could drink that? You would? You're a good sport. The guy down there wouldn't do it. Someone get a picture of him. I need a, someone get it. You have a get a picture of him. We'll it needs another thing of water. All right, we got it. You get the message? So we're at February, first Sunday of February. You still need the word this month. It's not just something to start the year for the first couple weeks of the year. You need the word. I don't care how you're reading it. I don't care if you're on the challenge or off the challenge. Every single one of us needs the word of God. And listen, if we're going to be a cool glass of water for a weary world around us and those coming into this building to seek God, we have the word clearing out. If we have anger and pride and all sorts of that stuff, all you're going to give to people is a bunch of anger and pride. We got to be clean. And we need to encourage one another with that. And so may the Lord help us with that. And so right now, let's just stand and let's talk to the Lord about that before we leave today. How many of you would say God is changing my focus with our heads bowed? How many God is changing my understanding that it's not just about me trying to go deal with all the little on the sins and the issues in my life. I need to focus on the Word of God and letting the Word of God come into my heart and life, practice it so that He can clean up my life. How many of you say, Pastor, I see that clearly today? Okay. Well, let's talk to the Lord and make commitments based on that, decisions made on that. Lord, because I see this, I know that I need a steady diet of your word. And I'm going to be more proactive to be in your word every day. I'm going to be proactive to meditate upon it. I'm going to be proactive to do it. When I leave a service, I want to leave that service with an action item from you. I want to know what is the next right step. And so I'm asking your Holy Spirit to show me. My heart is open and hungry to that. And so as you're bowed there today, I'd encourage you to step out of the pew and find a place to pray. And there's no music this morning, just us in the quiet of this moment, just you and God. Let's find a place to pray and talk to the Lord about this. Lord, this is the decision I'm making about your word right now. And I'm going to have a steady diet of it, reading it, meditating on it, doing it. But let's find places to pray. Come on, church, let's pray together before the Lord. And maybe you want to pray with somebody else and just say, boy, this is how the Lord's spoken directly in my heart. That would be good and right and encouraging to one another. That he might sanctify it. You are that church. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Oh, we need his word.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.